Get money all day, get money all night. Sip my drink, ho, let's get right. Getting paid, I'm getting paid.
Come on.
Roll one up, let's catch this flight. Pour another cup, ho, let's get right. Getting paid, I'm getting paid.
Hey, this your boy Tight. Can't say the Tight without the 1205. Know I'm talking back. But you're tuning in with Ray Ray's podcast. Kicking my boy Ray.
Yo, we back at it again. Ray Ray's podcast. You know, we coming live from beautiful downtown Dallas, live from the 10th floor of Hello Studios. Thank you for rocking with us again. It's another special Sports Cowboys Editions. You know, it's your boy Ray.
Yes, and this is your dog, Law Nation Sports. Let's get it.
We do our damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, doing this thing, you know, for these Cowboys.
Yes,
we love.
Indeed.
We love and we hate him at the same time. You know, you just get on your damn nerves. Like that girl you just can't get rid of.
Yo.
She just keep calling you to come back.
Yo.
I mean, you know, but thank you for rocking with us one time with a special episode. Today we're going to really talk to you about the draft, some other things we got going on with the draft. But, you know, I'll, you know, give a shout out to all my sponsors real quick. Shout out to Lit Vacations. You're looking for that next vacation, that destination wedding, that homie kickback trip, that girls trip, the family reunion, the bachelorette party, the destination way, whatever you're trying to do, I want you to make sure you hit up my guy Austin at Lit Vacations. That's LITTvacations.com. Tell him Ray from Ray Ray's podcast sent you, and he's going to give you the best rates possible you could probably have in any company, travel agency out there, all right? You know, we like to start off with those positive words, you know, to start off this show, you know? So if this is your first time listening or watching, you know, I want to pour back into you. You know, reset your week. If you're having a bad week, reset that day. If you're having a bad day, oh, hell, if the month is going wrong, let's reset that. Hit control out the lead, all right? So just in case somebody told you today, I just want you to know that you're beautiful, you're loved, you need it. You're alive for a reason. Hey, you're stronger than you think. Whatever it is you're going through right now, you're going to get through this. See, here on this show, Ray Ray's podcast with my guy Law Nation, we're glad that you're alive, and most importantly, don't give up. So when tough situations come arise, you have those good words in your mind, you go back and play those back like, yo, I am who I say I am, I can do what I say I can do. Yeah. Man, let's get into it, all right? So this episode, we're going to kind of preview the draft. Man, the draft is right around the corner. You know, Cowboys, we got a lot of work to do with this draft.
Tons of work to do in this draft.
Tons of work to do.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, let's introduce our special guest we got with us today, all right? You may have seen him before when we did our live broadcast for the Super Bowl at Shakerton's in Arlington. Just so y'all know, we'll be doing a live broadcast and a live watch party at Shakerton's in Arlington again for the NFL draft. So to kind of talk about that, we have our guy Neil from Shakerton's in the middle. Everybody give him a warm Ray Ray's podcast welcome, all right? What's up, Neil?
What's up, Neil? What's good?
Ray, how we feeling?
Great.
Great, man. Well, man, I'm feeling good and all of those things, man. But go ahead, man. Let people know who you are, man, and what you do.
Appreciate you guys having me back on. We got to kind of dabble for the first time back on Super Bowl.
Right.
Which was awesome. We had a phenomenal time. I'm Neil. I'm with Shakerton's. And our newest location, we currently have 5 locations, and our newest location is in Arlington. So we're right on North Collins, 1409 North Collins Street, and walking distance right by Jerry World, right? So we were able to team up. I've known Ray for a long time. We used to work together for a little bit. I've been blessed. These guys have kind of brought me into their circle to start, you know, being able to get Shakerton's name out there and getting on some different platforms. And so we teamed up for Super Bowl and loved it. So these guys are going to come back for the draft on Thursday for round one and do a live remote from there. And we're throwing a huge party for that. So like I said, Shakerton's 5 locations. We started off in the Colony is the first location. Then we have one in Allen. We have one in Prosper. We have one in Midtown, which is right across from the Galleria Mall. And then the newest as of last August is the Arlington location.
Yes, indeed. That's good stuff, man. We was talking before we hit that live button, the record button, and we was talking about vibes. Can you explain to the audience the vibes that Shakerton's Ultimate have over there at those locations?
Right. So the vibe is everything, right?
Uh-huh.
You got, especially in DFW and how much it's blown up, you have a million bars and restaurants, right? You can take your money. You can go anywhere. You got a lot of different options.
Right.
But one thing we, you know, pride ourselves on, and one thing that has given us the ability to grow is that our vibe is the most fun vibe. That's what, it's all about the vibe, right?
Yeah.
You drink Jack and Cokes, you can go get a Jack and Coke at 55,000 different bars in DFW. But why do you come to see us? Because while you're having that Jack and Coke, you're going to have the most fun. So that's our stick. That's our thing. That's what we do.
The most fun.
That we're throwing a party. We're having a good time. When you come in, it's the cheers effect, right? Everybody knows your name. We know what you drink. You're like a brother and a sister to us. Come in. It's like an extension of your living room. That's how we look at it. We're throwing a house party.
Man,
if I can interject there, you know, he's been you know, light and modest with it. Shankerton's honestly is the most elevated, you know, sports bar experience you can get. It's an elevated version of it. You know, you don't have that simple just, you know, same old mozzarella sticks, same old chips and queso you get at any other bar. Your kitchen and quality is there. Everything from the drinks to the food, it's an elevated experience. So I feel like if you want that elevated sports experience, you definitely have to go to Shankerton's.
Yes, you indeed, know. Man. So
you know, and also the one in Allen, man. I popped in there one time. You know, I saw DeRoe up in there. Shout out my dog DeRoe. It was like Erica Banks be up in there. I feel like, yo, let me see what's going on in here. You know what I'm saying? They be having it popping. You know, y'all didn't start saying shake something with Shankerton's. You know, shake things up. They had some shake something, but you know,
shake it up, man.
They ain't shaking it up. They doing their thing. You don't see other sports bars doing live broadcasts and. You know, these parties, they've been doing it. So, you know, they're doing their thing. Man, staff is great, friendly. The hospitality is off the chart. You know, owners are in there serving you like, you know, a day-to-day worker. You don't see too many restaurants where the owners are in there hands-on, getting in the mud, getting in the grind. So I got to salute them on that. So cheers to y'all on that.
Cheers, man.
And make sure y'all bring y'all asses out. We have a good time. You know, if you a real true NFL fan, real sports fan, and you love your team, matter if you're a Cowboys fan, Packers fan, Seahawks fan, Steelers fan, hell, even a Browns fan, come out and enjoy this draft experience we're going to put on for you. This production we're doing for y'all, man, it's going to be top notch. You know, everything from the food to the entertainment, to the actual live broadcast itself, it's going to be
A-1. Yes, indeed. You know? I always pride myself on, you know, it's a party, you know, atmosphere on my channel. And I always try to bring that to the table when we are out at these type of establishments and events. But one of the things, like you said, with the food, I heard it is a scratch kitchen. So y'all got somebody out there that's really putting things together to the skillet out there. Can you explain some of the flavorings that you guys got on the menu there?
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
You know, most bars, they all kind of go down the same hole.
Right.
It's cool. You know, bars are going to have wings and pizzas and different kind of stuff like that, right? So with that, you know, how do we elevate that some? How do we go, okay, sure, we have chicken wings like everybody else, but how do we make our flavors a little bit better, a little bit different than everybody else? Pizza. Mm-hmm. Every sports bar has pizza, right?
But correct.
We're not getting the frozen pre-done dough that's in there, right?
DiGiorno!
Right? We're not doing DiGiorno. So with that, it's just how do we take your bar favorites that we know people are going to want when they're coming out to watch a game or watch a big event, whatever it may be, how do we just take it to another level? And we've had some success doing that.
Man, that's dope, man. So, look, you're not going to get DiGiorno. You're not going to get Tony's in them. You're going to get some real good food, man. So that's what I noticed, too. And the drinks are not watered down. So you don't want to have all of that ice and watered down drinks. Come on out to Shankerton's. Matter of fact, don't meet us there. Beat us there. Come on out to 1409 North College Street. And what else what else you can see in the background, bro?
You can see Cowboy Stadium.
Yes, indeed. And let's get to the Cowboys, man.
Yeah,
on top of that, man. Hold on. Ray, what we got?
We got that. But one other thing, too.
Yeah.
You never talk about the drinks at Shankerton's. That's the only sports bar that has crafted cocktails. I don't know any other sports bars that have crafted cocktails.
Crafted.
If you like a good old-fashioned good martini,
mm-hmm.
not no recipe that they have, it's same place, I'm telling you, everything here is specific to Shankerton's. It's the best experience. Let's do it. Let's shake it up.
Yeah.
Come out for this draft. Come support your team.
Yeah.
We got these different raffles. We're going to be doing, you know, if you guess the first couple picks right, you know, we may have a prize for you. You don't know. Get there. Be there early because it's going to get packed. Make a reservation. Go online now. You can make a reservation. We put the website up here. But what we're going to do here today is we're gonna kind of do different situations and simulations of what's going to happen in this first round. And, you know, being a gracious host that we do, we're going to let Neil talk about his team and what he wants his team to do in the draft real quick. Then we're going to dive into, you know, this Cowboys. I know it's what y'all came here for this Cowboys talk.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We'll let our guests, you know, have his moment to shine talking about his team and what he thinks they need to do in the draft. Neil, take it away, my guy.
So I actually think the Browns and the Cowboys are actually in kind of a similar situation in certain aspects, and here's what I mean by that. So last year, both made it to the playoffs.
Right.
Both had awful blowout losses, first round, not expected. Right. So then you get to the offseason, and of course in the offseason, everybody's like, what's my team going to do? So the Browns had multiple offensive linemen hurt last year.
Correct.
And the offensive line has been really good for them for the last 3 or 4 years, yep. Right? Well, the Cowboys' offensive line has been good for longer than that. It's been a stable. It's been part of the reason they've been able to do what they do. And you're down two people in the offseason.
Right?
Yeah.
So once your quarterback is set, and I think right now the Browns aren't going to move off Deshaun. There's obviously too much invested in it. Deshaun's going to be their quarterback. For the Cowboys, of course, there's all the talk about Dak. It got strung out last time. I think he's going to be there still. So if your quarterback is already set and you're not going for quarterback in the draft, the next thing for me is your offensive line solidified?
Right.
Because the O-line helps quarterback, helps running back, helps the team. It's just, in my opinion, you got to kind of start there, right, once your quarterback is set. So I personally wouldn't be shocked. Now, this is a deep offensive line draft.
It is deep.
So, would I be shocked if both teams on the Browns don't have a first-round pick?
Right.
This is the last year that we don't have one with that Deshaun Watson trade. Right. So, we're picking 54th, so we're back a little bit. But is this a draft where if you have a solid offensive lineman that's there, do you just take him because that's the fastball down the middle, that's the safe play, and not making a reach at some, you know, a wide receiver or somebody you're not sure about?
I don't
know. Cowboys wise, we're going to see what happens.
Well, you guys did make some movement. You did pick up a wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And then you're matching him up with Amari Cooper. You already have your star-studded tight end.
Yep.
I think that last year, when you look at everything, injuries came at the wrong time, which are running back for
Nick
one.
Nick Chubb. Yep.
And then on top of that, Deshaun Watson, I can't really look at him as a horrible situation because I think that every game that he started in, they won, right?
He was 5-1 when he played, right?
Right. So it's health. You know, you only as good as your availability.
Right.
So when I look at the Cleveland Browns from a standpoint, I do like your play caller. I do like the youthfulness of your coaching staff there. I just think that injuries came about the wrong place in the wrong time.
Yeah.
And you still got a generational guy, Myles Garrett, right? I'll give you D-Law right now, straight up, you know, for Myles Garrett. Come on.
Boy, stop that, boy.
I give you D-Law straight up. Shout out to you, D-Law. I know you watch the show, but I just say that, man, because I know that you guys got studded talents all over the team. You got Ward. You got Myles Garrett. So,
right.
Yeah, man, we got the choir singing over here on that. But the thing is with your team is, can Deshaun Watson stand tall and can you re-solidify your O-line? That is your biggest area of need, in my opinion. I think that you're stacked with linebacker. You're good with your defensive front. Your secondary is probably by far one of the best in the National Football League.
Right.
It's just the fact that you need help at keeping your quarterback upright, right?
I mean, that's what happens when you lose a Pro Bowler and Joe Thomas.
I mean,
and Hall of Famer. Man,
Joe Thomas.
Hall of Famer.
That is one person I feel so bad for him because he was, I mean, Some people don't realize he's literally one of the best offensive linemen to ever play in the game. Yeah, and he played before the Browns finally, over the last 3-4 years, finally got their shit together.
Right.
He played when they were a dumpster fire, and he was the only great thing on the team, and he never got to, you know, he never got to get any of the winning
that he got he never got to taste it. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's one of those things that's tough. But 100% right. We got all the playmakers that we need. If Deshaun is him, he's still a winner in this league.
Correct.
You know, there's been some doubt only because 1 year he was suspended for a lot of the year. So call that year's out.
Keep the massage parlors away from him. The hands on him. Set him down to Shakerton. Come on, Deshaun Watson. Come on to Shakerton.
In the words of Selena, in the words of Selena Gomez, can't keep my hands to myself.
So with having the playmakers, I think we got everything we need there. I think Jerry Judy's going to surprise some people.
Yeah.
I think he's been
in a shit situation.
He was highly touted coming out, and things didn't go right in Denver, but I don't think it was just him. I think there was a lot of problems with
quarterback
at the time.
Coaching.
And number one is quarterback. How many different quarterbacks were trying to throw him the ball? They had no continuity and all that. So I think you're going to see something big out of him. And Amari's still going to draw that double team. Amari's still a beast.
Yeah.
So does that mean Jerry Judy's going to get the number two, number three D back on a team on him?
Exactly.
Woo! I mean, that's a big deal.
And he can route you up. And when you start talking about the draft that Jerry Judy came out of, you can start talking about Justin Jefferson. You can talk about the my guy, C. Dangerous Lamb. But, you know, you got the
CD2K is what it's going to be this year.
It's going to be CD2K. So you put Jerry Judy with a – excellent quarterback like you got over there, I think that, and then that it alleviates some of the pressure because you can only roll coverage so many ways, and you can only think about putting one-on-one coverages to Amari Cooper because you know what, he can get busy with it.
Right.
And then when you start talking about Njoku, the tight end, he going to eat on his one-on-one. So, this should be a match made in heaven.
I just think that
with the running back situation, where are you guys with his timetable of coming back?
So he's obviously coming back.
You just don't know when.
They don't know exactly when. They've stacked the deck a little bit, so they put a couple of people around him to be able to ease him back into it.
Right.
From everything I've read, everything I've seen, everything I've known of Nick Chubb since he's got there, he's the consummate pro.
Right.
He's no BS, and I know he's going to come back full force. So, you know, is it going to take a little bit of time to get him acclimated and get him back? Probably, but that's where, for me, same thing. That's where that old line comes into play of let's protect our quarterback.
Right.
Let's open holes up for these running backs that are going to be – it's going to be running back by committee for a little bit until he gets back.
True.
But you can do that. I mean, last year – the Browns were still
who you have as running back? Who is he?
Hines, who they got from Buffalo,
okay,
is who they brought over to help. And there's you still have Ford that was there last year, so you have multiple players that are there.
Runner. Yeah.
So are they gangbusters? No, but if your O line's playing good and your defense is playing lights out, that's going to keep you in games. Can you grind? Can we grind the first 3-4 games out to kind of get back in the mix? That's what you're looking to do. It's kind of like when you have a backup quarterback and you go, you know our system, you know our thing. If we got 4 games, I need you to go 2-2 so we can get healthy and get right again and then kick it back off.
You know, the craziest thing is, so you guys got the 54th pick, right? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, so when you think about it, you still may look at running back as an area of need there.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you don't want to play with fire. You got a hot team right now. And you can look at offensive line, but it's slim thick. Meaning that if you don't hurry up and get your offensive lineman players early, then you're going to end up not being able to get them.
Right.
And it's a slim but it's thick offensive line, meaning that all of those guys, majority of those guys are already gone.
You're going
to
go quick.
So by the time you get to the 54th pick, you're not going to really get a day one guy. You're going to get a groom guy that's drafted and developing guy.
Right.
Now, you guys got lucky last year and picked up this kid. What's his name? Brown? You got the tackle.
So
Njoku had the longest arms in life.
So last year, and this goes back to our GM, who's done a phenomenal job. So last year, we ended up by the end of the season, we were on our fourth string offensive lineman and still in the playoffs and still winning 12 games. So that just goes to show when you got depth like that.
And Flacco. Let's remember that. And Flacco at quarterback.
And what I mean by that is this.
PJ too, though.
GMs don't get known for making the number two pick in the draft, and they get the guy that's the most, you know what I mean? Like the GM that picked Joe Burrow, dude, right. I'm going to give you credit for that. Everybody in the world knew Joe Burrow is going to ball, right? You're not getting credit for that. The real GMs are going, how do I find guys second, third, fourth, fifth round that end up being, they may be backups on the team, but there's your depth to where.
Shout out to my guy Will McClay, who's good at that.
On the back end.
On the back end. So, you know, the GM's role isn't just to, you know, go get the easy pick in the first round. It's what slam am I doing? Dunk, yeah. What kind of deals am I making to put my team in a better situation?
Getting in the trenches down there, getting down and dirty with it.
Absolutely. So we got to see last year that our GM and our coaching staff was able to take fourth string offensive linemen and still make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is it enough? And was I satisfied with what happened in the playoffs? No. But it goes to show that making the right decisions and doing the right thing. So I got full confidence in our GM Barry and what he's been doing over the last 4 or 5 years.
He's been phenomenal on the defensive side, man. Right. Okay. This probably be by far the most Brown conversation that anybody will get on TV or radio or podcast, I promise you. And this is what we bring to the table, Ray Ray and Law Nation Sportsman, mixed in with my guy Neil out of Shakerton's, man. Hey, you a Brown fan? I know another Brown fan that really liked to fight, and his name is Sean Porter. So I'm going to send this clip to you, dog, and check out what my guy Neil had to say about your team.
Now, yes, indeed. Let's get to the main event.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
The main event, what we came here to talk about. We're going to talk about this Cowboys draft.
Come on.
There's different scenarios we could do in the first round. Some of our wish list players we want the Cowboys to take. Let's get into it, all right? So it's kind of, you know, a conscious, you know, unanimous decision to kind of what the first top of half of the draft is going to be. Caleb Williams, number one, to the Bears. My personal opinion, Jaden Daniels is going number two to Washington. Unless someone gets up there and try to make a trade, we don't know. I think if Patriots stay pat, Drake May is going to go number three.
I agree.
Marvin Harrison, Cardinals, to the fourth. Here's where it can get tricky. That fifth pick. Either Chargers could take that tackle and Joe Alt.
Yeah.
Or a team could trade up. Everyone's saying in Minnesota, trade up, take J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
I say let the ball fall. I say let the board fall to you before you decide to drop off, because you may not need to trade up to five to get McCarthy. He may take a little slide and you can get him. You never know. That's just the way the draft goes.
Right.
It's unpredictable, as words Jamie Foxx used to say. Unpredictable. Yeah. We don't know how the draft's going to go.
Right.
It can go any way, okay? New York Giants, they need a receiver. They need an offensive line. Hell, they may even need a quarterback.
The Giants definitely need a quarterback.
So we don't know.
Right.
Could we see the Giants try to make a trade up, a pick, to get the quarterback? Because they're not sure, we don't know. So a lot of people have these different things. They can go receiver, they can go O-line, they can go quarterback, okay? Then from there, you have the Tennessee Titans. I think they're going offensive line, personal opinion.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at their moves during the offseason, it's kind of presenting that they're looking to draft for need, and they're making sure that they do all of their BPAs, best player available during the draft. Well, we're doing the free agency. And that's why I say that teams like that that's ultra-aggressive in free agency, that they are looking to draft need so that they can make sure that everything is already put in place. But keep going.
So they can do so the Titans can go offensive line, they can go receiver, they can go that. You know, normally in these drafts, you see corners go pretty high. I don't think there's going to be a draft where you're going to have corners go that high in a draft.
I agree with that.
There may be one in the top 10, maybe one. Right. Possibly. But I don't think there's going to be that big run or stretch of quarters in the first round. We never know. But as of now, on paper, I just don't see it. It's going to be a big offensive line first round draft. You know what I'm saying? It could go first. It's the Chargers. They take a Joe Alt. Here's another guy I think people are kind of high on. Who's going to be the first offensive lineman? If it's not Joe Alt, Fashanu. Yep. I think that's the way you say his last name.
Yeah, Fashanu.
Out of Penn State, that's a possibility. Everyone loves his feet. his quickness, his movement, what he does in pass rush situations is great. You know, he needs a little bit of work in the running game, I believe, but that's a position, you know, he's just a freak athlete.
He is, yeah.
The only down knock they said on him is his hand size. For a person that big, his hands, they said it's kind of kind of small.
As long as you can strike and move right out of the way, man.
If you can move a man against his will,
yeah,
I don't give a shit what the size hands are. It don't matter to me.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Hand size for me is more of a quarterback thing and running back. You know, you want to be able to make sure that they are firm and with the ball.
Secure that ball. Right.
Yeah, pause if necessary.
Pause. Right. No diddy over here, right?
Yeah.
So let's get down to this. Dallas, we're at 24, okay?
Yeah.
So some teams, my perfect first round pick for the Cowboys would be Troy Fatanu out of Washington. But there's a lot of teams I'm worried about getting him before us. There's Seattle at 16 that can use him. Maybe Philly.
Right.
At, was it 21, 22 Philly draft set? Even higher than that, some teams could take him. I think Troy Fatanu is the perfect pick for the Dallas Cowboys because he has that position flex.
Right.
Put him at tackle or you put him at guard. As of an interview we seen recently, Tyler Smith said he's staying at guard.
Yeah, he preferred to be still at guard. Yeah, yeah.
Me too. I have a perennial all-pro at guard already. I would love to keep that guy at guard. So what am I doing? I'm trying to draft a tackle in the first round, okay?
Yeah.
So if you want to draft a tackle in the first round, here's a couple of scenarios I think we should do, okay? Pray to God he is still there.
Right.
At 24, which I highly doubt it. And one of the reasons why is you got Philly drafting before us. I think they're going to go center, in my personal opinion, but they could draft a tackle. You just don't know because he's that good of a position. You can put him at guard or tackle. They could upgrade that guard position and have him there.
I get what you're saying, but this team, we are on a mindset that you got to win now. This shouldn't be no, hey, we got to draft and develop because of these type of factors. Mike McCarthy, he's on a one-year deal now.
Yeah.
Mike Zim, he's on a one-year deal. So you got technically three tackles on your team that you got to foresee, and these guys already within the confines of the system of Mike Solari. So you never know. And I like Troy. I like his tape. Yeah. I like what he brings to the table. But can he do something? Now, is it a proven that he's going to outperform Matt Wellesco, Joshua Ball of all people that they talking
about?
And on top of that, Awesome Richards. Because you got all three of those guys that's going to have to play at tackle at some shape, form, or fashion. It goes all the way to this point, Ray. We got to think of the level of the mindset of the Cowboys. Think about this. No one saw Terrence Steele being a starter for the Cowboys at right tackle, right? Because at that time, they had Lyle. They had other guys that's in the mix. So the Cowboys always do something strange and weird, but they are 100.
Yeah.
Batting as it relates to drafting an offensive lineman in the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I do agree with you. Troy, if he's there, you run, you break your leg to the table at the 24th spot. But if he's not there, hear me out.
Here's what I was getting there.
Yeah, you getting there. But, man, come on, I'm just going to say it right quick. If he's not there, I'm stealing your joy, man. I'm stealing his time. If he's not there, then you trade back because there's three guys that I want. Graham Barton, right?
Okay.
Also, JPJ, I heard that he's slipping into the second.
Concussion
and on
issues.
Top of that, Zach Frazier. Those are three guys that I know for sure that can play center. And we don't know who Brock Hoffman is, right, at center. So I believe that we don't have three waiting at center, but we do have three waiting at tackle. That's how I'm looking
at
it.
Well, here's the thing, too. If Troy Fatanu wasn't there, because you need a tackle. If you don't want to move Tyler Smith, you need a tackle.
Right.
Trade back scenario. Morgan out of Arizona. That's a possibility.
Jordan Morgan, yeah.
Okay. It just depends on how the board falls.
Yeah.
It really depends. But if I'm trading back for a tackle, it would be for Morgan.
If you Mike McCarthy, what would you do? Hey,
he's the one on the hot seat.
Yeah, he's the one on the hot seat.
He's on the hot seat. Yeah. I know he's won 12 games three straight years, but you know the deal. I mean, the Cowboys are the most hyped team in the world.
Yeah. Right.
One of them in the world at any sport. Sure. So you can win 12 games and all, but if you're not advancing anywhere in the playoffs, at some point it's like shit or get off the pot.
Right? Yeah. I think we have to make a move. If I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm taking the most talented available lineman available.
But what if Brian Thomas is there? Would you just say, okay, pass him by? Or
what's the point of taking a receiver and having a protection for your quarterback?
Yes, indeed. So I see what you said. I get what you're saying. Who's right now the number two wide receiver?
In this draft?
No. On the team right now.
Brandon Cooks.
Is he considered a number two, or he considered a really technically a number three wide receiver at this point based off his production last season?
Well, based off his production last season,
he was
a number three because would you say Jake Ferguson is your number two receiver?
Yeah, I like Jake.
Iceberg Ferg. You know, he ain't afraid to get in the jungle and be looked at a zoo. Shout out.
I mean, Brandon Cooks had 1,000 yards no matter where he was. You put him on a moon, he had 1,000 yards.
But not in Dallas.
It didn't seem like
it wasn't a click there.
It wasn't a connection last year with him.
Yeah. I think that teams limit Cooks to two routes. He could run the nine, right? He could run the deep over.
Yeah.
So my thing is people were able to sit on most of his routes.
Right.
And they focus in on CeeDee Lamb, who's in a contract year. And if anybody can make it spicy for him, especially by him not showing up to OTAs and things like that, could be Jerry. Jerry and Stephen Jones, it would not surprise me if they go with the spice and say, okay, we drafted another wide receiver to replace you.
Right.
They did that with Amari Cooper, by the way.
Right.
You know, yeah. I'm just saying, right. If you look into this draft and you know that you got your head coach with his back against the wall, he need guys that can make explosive plays now, not for the future.
But how can you make those explosive plays if you don't have the time to do that? You got to have time to make those plays. So what that goes back to having an offensive line.
Do you guys think
we've got two? What's up?
Do you guys think? Obviously, you lost two linemen, right?
Right,
and that's technically huge,
really huge.
Tyron hasn't played a full season in a while, right?
So it's a loss, but it's not a loss.
So you've had to do some makeshift. You have to do some work with him being gone in and out of the lineup multiple times. As the offensive line is constructed right now,
right.
Are you going to be top three? No, you won't be top three, but how far do you think you're going to drop in that offensive line rating based on who you have right now?
Pretty far.
I don't think that I hold that value that high on a Tyler Biadasz. And, of course, I do hold value high for Tyron Smith.
Okay,
But I'm saying that
Biadasz, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't think that Biadasz is a difference maker of four or five games.
He's not a Kelsey.
Right, he's not a
Hall of Famer. You're going.
I feel like almost every center in his draft has more upside than Tyler Biadasz. Not to knock Tyler Biadasz.
Yeah, shout out to him. Former Pro Bowler Tyler Biadasz too.
Former Pro Bowler. A lot of the centers in this draft, I think they have the ability to be coming with a higher upside than Tyler Biadasz did.
So let me ask you this for you guys. So if you think offensive line is in need, right? If you don't think the people that are there now should be your starters for the whole season, you may need to draft linemen. Got it.
Right.
I'd say at least one.
You would mention wide receiver to mix that whole thing up like they did before, bringing in CD when Amari and all that. What are you doing at running back?
Well, here's the thing for this draft.
That's a good question.
In my opinion, it's not a top heavy running back class. You know, I don't see any running backs
receiver heavy for sure.
Right.
O-line, wide receiver, and the top half quarterback, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of drafts, you have a lot of corners. I don't see a lot of top corners in this draft either. Maybe a handful, maybe two to three corners may go in the first round. But far as running back, I don't see a running back going in the first round. Unless somebody falls in love with a player, which we've seen before, for instance, Detroit last year, take a linebacker that they could have gotten in the second round and Jack Campbell, or a running back they could have got in the second round. And Jahmyr Gibbs was
worth every penny to.
So it was worth every penny to them, but their value, they were second round grades.
So let me ask you this, because I think this is a big deal. Everybody puts grades on players, right?
Right.
You know, where they should go, or they drafted them too high, drafted them, or they got a great deal on them late, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, if you think he's the guy,
right,
it don't matter what you pay for him. And my example is not everybody's Patrick Mahomes. But Kansas City said, I see something. Right. I don't care how many picks I got to give up to get Patrick. And look what happened.
Yeah.
And not saying you do that and everybody's a turnout to Patrick Mahomes. I'm saying the decisions that Detroit made. They said, that's our guy.
Right.
The last time I checked, they were pretty damn close to going to the Super Bowl. So they're making the right decisions, even if you might say, oh, they drafted him too high. But if that's the guy that your team says, that's him, management thinks that's him, get him.
You got to have a system put into place to say that.
Right, right.
And you don't have your coaching staff on one-year deals when you make that type of movement because you have things put into place.
Right.
Pat Mahomes was brought in because of Andy Reid's ability to also be a quarterback whisperer.
Andy Reid, and his system.
And his Andy Reid. So Pat Mahomes, if he went to Chicago or another team, he may not have been that type of kind of caliber of player, because he even mentioned himself or said himself that he had struggles and problems reading defenses and beyond, and mechanics were a little sloppy here and there. So he went into the perfect storm. Now, when you start talking about, you know, this particular team, logically, we can say that we need help inside on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Interior help for defense, interior help for offense. There's nobody that's going to touch the ball more than the center. The center touched the ball 100% of the time. So if you bringing in newness like a Brock Hoffman, who this will be his first time ever playing center for 17 weeks, you may have a little drop off here and there.
Right.
But I'm looking at it from this aspect. Can the Cowboys go into the 24th pick and pick somebody that's going to be valuable now?
Right.
And that's what they need, because my guy, Mike McCarthy, his future is not promised here for the 2025 season. And the best way to look at this, I know we can get running back game in third round. We don't have a fourth round draft pick, but we've seen Breland Allen in the third round. We've seen Trey Benson's. We've seen Blake Corum. All of these guys that can be some change of pace guys that can help alleviate some of the pressure that you may have on a Rico or a Tiny Deuce Vaughn. You got to bring in somebody that can help that out, and I think that will be the case in the scenario.
So let me ask you this: while you're on that topic, do you think, and this probably happens to a lot of teams, but when you're in a position when you got the right GM, you got the right coach, you got the right structure,
right?
The draft goes that much better because you're not going, we're all on 1 year and we're just trying to snag somebody to win now because I'm trying to save my job.
Yeah.
Do you think McCarthy and Dallas crew is under that heat? Because if we don't win now or do something now, I might be gone next year. So I might not pick up a player that is best long-term or overall. I'm just trying to do whatever I can to win a game right now.
I'm trying to give me a playmaker now.
Win.
Think of it like this. I look at a funnel. Just think of the draft as a funnel.
Okay.
And you got needed guys and you got BPA guys. Well, what you want to do is, technically, you want to be able to draft the best player available. That's the ultimate goal. Your need, you're supposed to get in the free agency period. If you know you need help inside, you go get that guy with a known commodity, right?
Right.
You get a chef that already know how to cook versus one that you just came out of culinary school or what have you. So you know for sure at least the minimum would be there. Now, he may have a great transcript, graduate top of his class, which is cool. But you don't want to lean on that.
Right.
And the problem is with the Dallas Cowboys, they say, hey, this was the best cook coming out of college. Let him be in the biggest and the brightest of the stage with the Dallas Cowboys with the star on the side of the helmet, which that philosophy, it can work. It can win you games. You can probably get to the playoffs, but oops. You probably ain't going to win multiple playoff games because that stage is centered and is so bright that they don't know, because you can only pull from for what you know.
And what you made said makes a lot of sense, meaning like, all right, so if you're drafting just the best player,
right?
And you're not going, I got to fill this need, I'm just going to draft this guy. When you do that, all right, say I got my D-line is stacked.
Right.
But it comes to my pick, and there's an absolute stud on the D-line that I can't not draft. Well, when you do that, two things happen. One, it's going to raise the bar on your D-line already. And two, if you end up finding a stud that's a little bit better than your guy that you already have, that's good. Now you're getting in those trade scenarios. That's where teams are able to go, I don't have to pay him top money. Now I can trade him, get some picks back, and work that whole system. You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's play make-believe real quick for a second, all right?
Let's do
talk
it.
Talk to me.
What if, it's just hypothetical, what if the NFL was like the NBA where you had the draft first and free agency afterwards?
It would be better. It'll make teams work a whole lot better.
Well, the only reason why I think they do it the way that they do it is because draft capital. Agency is trying to go, I'm making my moves, and I'm, you know, if you're trading players or doing your thing, you're doing that because if I know I'm going to move off a guy, I want to trade him before the draft because I'm trying to get draft capital this year, not wait until next year. Yeah. And if you wait too long, now they go, okay, I got this top player. I'm going to get a first-round pick or a second-round pick for him. But if I do it too late, now my second-round pick's not coming until next year. I'm trying to get it this year. So that's why they do it. Now, would it shake some things up if they did it the other way?
Yeah.
Because if the draft fell and then free agency starts, you could have that moment where a team goes, okay, we're going to see what happens. Then they get their guy, and now they're the player that they were thinking about trading. Now they're like, well, now I'm definitely trading you because I got a dude on a rookie deal now that I think could be just as good as you, and now I'm trading it. But that takes away from a team saying this. Say you're the Cowboys, right?
Right.
Yeah. And say we're gonna switch it up, and you're gonna do free agency after the draft.
Right.
Okay. The problem is that if every team sees the Cowboys take this player,
they know we're free agents. Yeah.
Then the free agency, they know that you're just trying to get rid of them now. I'm not going to give you high market value
for it
would lower that.
It would absolutely, his philosophy will benefit the Cowboys only. All of the 31 teams, other 31 other teams, they dance around in free agency. They use that.
Right.
Because think about it. Even the Ravens. Or even the Texans, I'm going to use them as an example. That's a little bit better. They picked up Joe Mixon. They can still ultimately still draft a running back, what I would also advise them to do such, because now that's also hedging your bet. Whereas the Cowboys, they look at it like, you know what? We don't bump a Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
Bump a, what's the kid that worked out right here? The big boy.
Tierney?
Derrick Henry. Bump a Derrick Henry. We got our Derrick Henry at home, Snoop Connor. You know, right. We got our Royce Freeman. We don't have to pay $6 and $7 million. Shout out to Royce, you know. So they went and got their burly bigger back on the back end or the crumbs of the free agency when we are banging on the table saying, no, go ahead and get that known commodity that's going to have the respect of the opposing team to not play light boxes.
Yeah.
And the philosophy with the Joneses is, hey, we gonna always look at it by low,
right?
And then wait for the draft, and then after the draft, there will be teams who would draft the person who say, now we no longer need that veteran guy and
so
release.
That's so perfect example when you said Joe Mixon, right?
Right, right.
So if the free agency and the draft was reversed,
right,
right. Well, if the Bengals drafted a running back and then said, okay, we're gonna trade Joe Mixon, everybody's gonna go, well, you already got your running back. There's no pressure on it now, so we're just gonna lowball you because you have to get rid of him. That's the whole thing.
Let's talk about something a little bit different here. Here's the downside from not being able to draft BPA. Okay, and a Cowboys situation where they have multiple needs they need to fill in this draft.
Yeah,
they got a lot of needs we need to fill in the draft. O line, linebacker, running back being some of the top needs they need to fill.
Right, right.
Teams know you need to fill those needs.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right. Right.
Perfect example. Last year, the Buffalo Bills, they jumped in front of Dallas because they thought Dallas was going to drive the tight end.
Right. Get the tight end. Right.
Because
right.
we need at that point we needed a tight end. We didn't know what we had yet. And Jake Ferguson, Hendershot, and whoever else we have on the roster.
Ewan, baby.
We didn't know what we had. So what did Buffalo do? They drafted, they jumped in front of Dallas, drafted a tight end. Dallas went a whole total different direction, you know, of what people thought they were going to do because of a need they needed. But now it's obvious there's so many needs that the Cowboys have people were probably like, okay, I know Dallas, we go after this, or this.
Right.
For me to get the guy I need or what we need on our team.
Gotta jump them.
We gotta jump them.
Right. So let me ask you that. Like, when you just brought up Joe Mixon and Derrick Henry, is there a specific reason you think Dallas didn't go after either
Please let me answer this.
Well, go ahead.
Please let me answer this.
Go ahead, and I'll jump in.
Two-part answer for this.
Yeah, twofold.
Dallas Cowboys are scared to pay premium on any free agent, outside free agents, okay?
Right.
Double dip on that. They don't want to overpay a running back anymore. And it bit them in the ass. Overpaying Zeke.
Well, they overpaid Zeke them in the ass. Second contract, maybe. Second.
Yes.
But when they had the right running back, did Dak never look better? Did he look better when he was the first couple of years that Zeke was there?
He great, but he was, what was he on? He was on a team-friendly deal,
right?
That running back.
Yeah.
They didn't want to have to pay top dollar for a top back.
Which I get. Right. But what's top dollar? Because Derrick Henry got $9 million guaranteed. That ain't for next year.
But to the Cowboys, that they're going to feel like $19
million. Yeah, because I think they were over the cap going into free agency.
Right.
They were over like almost $20 million. Right. Going into it.
Because I look like Joe Mixon.
Right.
I feel like that's one of those players where...
I think he would be a great fit in Dallas, personally.
People know he's good, mm-hmm. but when he was healthy and Joe Burrow was healthy, second year of the day, they're in the Super Bowl.
True.
I feel like if you put Joe Mixon on the Cowboys, I'm like, that's a fit right there. I feel like that would be money.
That's what I thought.
And here's the thing. Joe Mixon, even with a porous offensive line, he still gave you 16 touchdowns and almost close to 1,300 yards rushing. So which one was it? Was it a horrible offensive line or was it Joe Mixon and Joe Burrows? So both of those boys together, they were still able to get to the Super Bowl with a bad and horrible offensive line.
And I've never seen that.
Yeah.
I've never seen... Not saying every team that has the best offensive line make the Super Bowl.
Correct.
But that Bengals team was the first time I saw a bad offensive line. Somehow they made it to the Super Bowl. Joe Mixon was a part of that with Burrow.
Yeah.
So I think that the reason I say all that is...
And that's what they did also while I'm thinking about it. I'm not trying to cut you off.
Does that mean that the Cowboys are going to adjust running back because they think, I'm not going to go pay a Derrick Henry with all this tread on the tires that's worn down.
Exactly.
9, 10, 11 million bucks if I get a running back in the second or third round that I'm paying
exactly
700 grand a year and I can still get production.
The only thing is with that is that Derrick Henry had 12 touchdowns last season, right? And if any running back rookie-wise gets you 12 to 13 touchdowns, that's going to be up there with the records of what probably Zeke did his rookie year.
Right.
Or all the way back into the 80s of what my guy Gale Sayers who had 12 or 13 touchdowns. It's going to be hard to get 12 to 13 touchdowns out of a rookie running back. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I think the guy that I'm trying to think of, he played for the LA Rams. What's his
Dickerson?
Name? Eric Dickerson. Dickerson. Yeah. Right. So that's not going to absolutely happen with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I do like Trey Benson. I do like Breland Allen. I do like Blake Corum. Yeah. I do like the mindset of running back by committee. But the Cowboys got to ultimately draft that running back.
You have to have that one. That premier number one running back. You know, you're
right.
Your first, second.
But there's very few. I mean, when you think about it with running backs, they are still important. Even though wide receivers have become extremely important in the league right now, and, you know, everything is geared towards throw the ball, ton of yards, ton of production. Everything is against the defense now. You can barely tackle anybody anymore and all that.
But let me pause you real quick.
How many running backs, what's that?
Let me pause you for a second. Like, something just came to my mind. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's crazy to think, you know, the run game used to set up the pass. I feel now in this league, the pass sets up the run.
True. Agreed.
And that's where we've come. People may not say running backs or premier, you know, position you play anymore, but they are still have that importance because when your pass game is not working, what do you need to do? You gotta tote that rock.
Right.
You gotta have somebody. Perfect example. I hate to use this fucking analogy. They need a first down. What does the Philadelphia Eagles do?
Yeah, they run the ball. They push it. And
A form of running the ball. Someone's going to get you that guaranteed first down. Back when Zeke was in his prime here in Dallas, you know you got a first down.
Right.
You got a first down. You were in the first down either through the air or on the ground.
Yeah, you knew you had your short yardage guys to get that first down.
You got your 1-2-3 automatic.
Yeah. But what happened here over the time is that systems replaced the running backs.
Exactly.
The last prominent running back to win you a Super Bowl or in a Super Bowl with Marshawn Lynch. He could have had two of them, but they decided to throw it at the one.
Right.
So when you look at it, look at all of the Super Bowls in between. It's all been running back by committee or some shape, form, or fashion of a two-headed system. And then on top of that, it's been a situation that the Dallas Cowboys, as far as system-wise, look who's been the system. And I'm not using this as an excuse, but we had Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan. And then to replace those two, you had a guy by the name of Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy. These are not running back system guys.
Well,
right? These are pass first guys. So now you're looking at it like, what is everybody trying to do? They're trying to adopt the Kyle Shanahan style and kind of system.
Right.
And we're seeing the Shanahan brand everywhere, right? The
McDaniels.
Mike McDaniels. Right. I think your guy, even from the
Kevin
Browns.
Stefanski,
He's a Shanahan clone tree.
The
Rams. Yeah.
McVay.
Right.
Bobby Slowick. All of those boys. Ben Johnson. All of those guys come from that Shanahan tree, as well as the new flavor is the Atlanta Falcons. Don't sleep on them. Bijan Robinson
Stacked.
They're stacked. Give old boy a run game. I'm talking about Kirk Cousins now. You know?
That tell you how bad Washington fucked up with Gruden as the head coach there.
Absolutely.
Look at that whole staff. If you go back and look at that whole staff Washington had.
Right.
Yo, how?
They were loaded.
What?
They were loaded.
Yeah.
So with that, with Washington, and this goes to the Cowboys, because obviously same division and division rival.
Right.
Nothing happens overnight.
Right. Correct.
But Washington having this new ownership group that doesn't mess around.
Fuck Dan Quinn.
You're talking about an ownership group that Magic is like kind of one of the faces of it, right? But he's not the
Magic.
Money guy.
Yeah. So he's a Cowboy fan too, Magic.
Everything that they're touching is working because they're putting the right people in place.
Yeah.
Washington's got the number 2 pick in the draft.
Right.
Right. For now.
The most money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
They got the most money
Available to spend. Yeah.
And they brought in people that a guy, Bob Myers, and you go, Bob Myers, he was with Golden State in basketball. It doesn't matter. What they're doing is they're putting people that make smart decisions and that hire the right people.
Right.
I bet you in 2 or 3 years, Washington's going to be reckoned with, because Dan Snyder was an absolute joke.
Yeah.
Washington is going to be back to a solid. They're going to have a solid foundation, and they're going to be a solid organization. Give it 2-3 years to get in the mix. I think they're going to be back in the mix.
Let's pause for a second here, okay? We're going to play imaginary scenario here, all right?
Imaginary scenario number 2. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay.
No. You talked about the people they brought in Washington, all right?
Correct.
There's a name you didn't mention. Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep.
Who is his guy he was working with before he came to Washington? He was an assistant and a special counsel for USC.
For USC.
Who was his guy he worked with?
With homeboy.
Caleb Williams.
But
let's say a hypothetical scenario. Say, for instance, Washington, they want Caleb Williams badly. They have a lot of capital to move up and jump to that number 1 spot.
I know exactly what I would do. Where you're going.
Where you go.
Here's what I would do. Call me crazy. Mm-hmm. I think if you're Chicago, you made a ton of improvement in the offseason.
Yeah.
You're getting things back on track 100%.
Yeah.
Don't forget, they don't have the number 1 pick because they were the worst team in the league this year. They won 7 games. Yeah. They got it out of a trade.
They got it out of a trade.
And they got the number 9 pick.
Yep.
I would go Washington. You really want Caleb Williams?
How bad you want him.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You can move up 1 spot, take him.
Right.
And if I'm Washington, I'll move up to get Caleb, if that's who they want.
If they want.
If I'm Chicago, I'll move back one pick, take Jaden Daniels, get more picks.
Yep.
And I got the number 9 pick. I'm taking a top wide receiver.
Yep.
My wide receiver team is stacked.
Yeah.
I got the quarterback that I want, and I'm good. I think that could work for both teams. If Washington thinks, same thing. If Washington thinks, it goes back to what I said earlier. If they think Caleb is that guy, like they're Patrick Mahomes, if that's what they think, give up the sun, the earth, and the moon for it because it doesn't matter. If you get your guy, you get your guy. And if you're Chicago, they're just stacking picks.
You know what I would do if I was Chicago in that scenario? If they do, okay, trade at number 2, you know, if they say, for instance, this is what I would do, okay?
Right.
Don't have your heart set on one quarterback if you're Chicago, okay?
Yeah.
So let Washington move up to 1. What I would do with the number 2, Marvin Harrison Jr., I would take up number 2, then take that number 9 pick you have in Chicago, try to move back up. Okay, if quarterbacks start going, let me fucking trade back up and get one of the quarterbacks that are available. Don't fall in love with one quarterback unless you're actually in love with that quarterback.
And sometimes teams do make the mistake.
Yeah.
You look at what the Panthers did versus the Texans. You know, they fooled around.
They took
the
quarterback,
And they got Bryce Young.
Right.
Then CJ was right there, and it fell into the laps of the Texans. So that's what Washington is probably looking at, too. Like, sometimes you make it stay put and don't have to really dive deep into, hey, I'll give you the sun, the moon.
Yeah. Right.
But like you said, though, if you ultimately believe that he can be that guy, like, I'm going to ask you two right now. How many draft picks is worth for Pat Mahomes right now?
I've
not enough.
So somebody,
in my opinion,
so no, there's
ain't enough.
Six first round draft picks.
There's never enough.
But you got to get Andy Reid too. I don't think Pat Mahomes would work with any coach.
No, but if you're in that situation, right? If you did what Kansas City said, remember they moved up from like 27th to 10th or 11th.
Was it that high? I thought it was like right in the middle.
No, it was high. It was a lot.
Yeah.
If you have the right situation, you could give up 100 first-round draft picks because half the time, first-round draft picks are like 50-50.
Right.
The only, less than that in the NBA. The only position that's better than 50-50, if that, in the first round is offensive lineman. I don't know how they have it figured out, but every top 5 offensive lineman that come out in the first round in the NFL, pretty much all just, they're just that, they ball. You plug them in, they're good for 10 years. I don't know what it is. It's like you got an offensive lineman coming out from Iowa who's just take him. You're going to plug him in, he's going to be here for 10 years. Other than that, picks 15 or 20 through the rest of the first round, those are second round talents.
Yeah, you're right.
That are drafting up earlier because everybody's pushing for earlier. The quarterbacks that are going to go.
Yeah.
Everybody's so desperate for a quarterback because if you find your quarterback, you're money, right?
Yeah.
They draft these guys so high where maybe like J.J. McCarthy was talked about being going in the second round maybe sometime. And then all of a sudden now it's like, is he going to go in the fourth pick of the draft or third? And you're like, how does the tape going from this to this? It's not. It's all that hype and all the we need a quarterback and that guy was on a winning team. I'm just gonna take him.
You're right, and the quarterback position is the most reached on position in the National Football League. So, for every Josh Allen, there's a Josh Rosen, right?
Right.
And people fail to realize that when you get you a quarterback, it's hard to find. And then sometimes, even when you got your quarterback, you better understand you only got that window of time. If it's in the first round, you got 5 years, so you hold rights to that player.
Right.
But you got to start team building so that you can get things around. Like right now, the 49ers are in hog heaven because they're not paying that high premium for a quarterback, right? Because he's already been proven that if things are put in place for him, they will win the game, but you got to have run game and you got to have some shape, form, or fashion good defense with those kind of caliber of quarterbacks. So if the team is drafting, technically, like you're right, there's about 12 to maybe 14 true first round grades and everything else is in the second round.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah, you're right, man, with your assessment on that. So, hey, the Chicago Bears and the Washington team, they got good problems to have right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that thing with Chicago is they're in a very unique position.
Right.
And One, I don't think they should have kept their coach. And the only reason why is that I think he's a lame duck coach and you're bringing a rookie quarterback in there and there's going to be all that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Put that aside. The Chicago Bears are in a unique position where a quarterback of Caleb Williams or Jane Daniels type talent has never walked into a situation as good as Chicago. And you bet, what do you mean? Chicago wasn't great last year. It's not that they were great.
It's just the improvements they made.
They won seven games.
Yeah.
They were in a bunch of games. They made a bunch of improvements in the offseason. They weren't the zero or one win Cleveland Browns, right? Or a Tim Couch. Tim Couch crushed it in college. Right. The Browns draft him when the Browns were terrible. Look what happened.
Yeah.
He had no chance to succeed there. Hey,
he was the first name in that long list of quarterbacks that jersey with all those names on it. He was the first name on it.
And for you guys, how much does it matter for a quarterback on what situation you land in?
A lot. Everything matters.
Because at the end of the day, they're all talented, right?
Right.
Even the fourth, fifth, sixth quarterback that we're talking come off the board, dude, you can't tell me they're not talented. Dude, look what they were doing in college. They obviously got some talent. But if you go
– Dak Prescott's a good example.
I will say just right now, out there. The New England Patriots are going to ruin a quarterback if they take a quarterback. They got nothing on offense.
Right.
No receivers.
They got rid of, so Bill Belichick leaves. Who did they hire as their next head coach?
Jared Mayo.
Yeah,
you know what Jared Mayo's nickname was?
What was that?
Baby Bill. Kid
Baby
Bill.
Okay.
Bill Belichick.
Wow. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
You
know.
He is, what they all say, exactly like Bill Belichick.
Mm.
So Bill Belichick couldn't do anything for quarterbacks before. He doesn't. That's not what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have this defensive coach come in. They have no weapons. You're going to draft a quarterback. Who's going to mentor that quarterback or bring him along in that organization?
I mean, it's tough,
man. You're speaking facts right now, bro.
I think whoever drafts... If the Patriots draft a quarterback, he is going to die a slow death there because they got nobody to take them under his wing.
Man, he's been a hell of facts, but let's get on his Cowboys because I know my boy Neil, he got meat and stuff he's got to hit.
So, real quick,
here's some of our targets I feel like the Cowboys should target in the first round.
Okay.
And I'll say mine, you say yours, okay? My number one pick is Troy Fuentanu. Okay, if he falls, I say if we want to go center, if we're gonna move Tyler Smith to left tackle, and have our guy TJ play guard, then we need a center. I'm taking Graham Barton out of Duke. A tackle that converting into a safety. After that, Jackson Powers, Johnson. Or Jackson, whatever. I forgot his name right now. I'm sorry.
JPJ.
If we trade back scenarios, Morgan out of Arizona. That's pretty much, who I want to take far as lineman-wise, considering where we're picking at in this first round. Those are some of my scenarios. Everyone says a Mims.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about someone that's played all right.
Yeah, he don't have enough experience for me. He only played, as we can all say, 8 more college games than we did. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all he had. And it's all on the right side. But I would say this, though. The Cowboys don't have time to develop.
Yeah.
They got to go with BPA. Yeah. But we use the draft as our free agency. It's the bloodline for your mind for the Cowboys.
Right.
We got 7 picks. I look at it from this aspect of it. The Cowboys should trade back if tags are touching and get multiple picks back in return for trading back and go with the BPA approach. And the area need is inside, defensive line.
I agree with that.
And offensive line.
Yep. Linebacker. Don't forget about the linebacker. Linebacker is a big need, but this is not a great linebacker class. So you need to get your linebacker you want. You got to get them early.
Yeah. Adrian Cooper,
Peyton Wilson. If he falls. Even Jamiah Trotter Jr.
Eric Gray out there. You got Hopper. You got a lot of guys.
Cedric Gray.
I said Eric Gray, didn't I? Cedric Gray. Eric Gray, shout out to him. He played for the 49ers.
What about the guy, Trevin Williams, everyone's talking about from Kentucky, the linebacker out of Kentucky? That's the name right there. Wallace, Tevin Williams.
Wallace,
Trayvon Wallace.
Linebackers are probably going to always fall because they've almost become the least respected position in the game.
The running back of the defense.
It's kind of that. It's just like everybody wanted to pass rushers, and that's never going to go away. But then it's like now we got these shutdown corners to try to shut down the pass game. Linebacker, there's very few teams that have a stacked linebacker core. It's just not it's not as sought after the same way, like you said, about being a running back on the offensive side. It's the same thing. They're kind of like the last thing you're going to worry about on the defense.
Yeah.
So how high do you take one? It goes back to, do you draft out a need or draft out a best player available? There's no way a linebacker is going to be jumping a bunch of players on a board.
Yeah. 65% of the league play a lot of nickel, and that's two linebackers. Right. And that they do that to alleviate this pass mismatch, happy league, right, you know, this pass mismatch. Happy league, you know. But the problem is when teams do decide to run, do you have that thumper? Do you have that ability to make the adjustments to bring in that bigger body linebacker to get back to base
that
formation?
That with the Cowboys, right? That's something that they struggle with when a team just said, we're just going to line up and run it down your throat.
Right.
They didn't have those bodies to be able to do that.
Yeah, and that's a crazy shape to be in. And the Cowboys, like I said, we our front seven teams are known by their front seven, and we are razor blade thin at that spot on our front seven.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. We got a home run. Yeah. We need a home run in this draft because of the lack of activity in this free agency. But I kind of get the reason behind the lack of activity because you have your own guys. Mm-hmm. You have to pay. Based off of our guy Dak Attack show, shout out Dak Attack. He's projecting between Dak, Micah, and CD, there may end up being 50% of your cap space between those three guys.
That's
possibly
a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's why you can't really be active in free agency the way you want to, because you have to pay your home. Because we pay our guys here. If you want to pay those three guys, you got to pay them, so you can't be active in free agency, and you pray for a miracle for this draft.
Yeah.
You need like almost a 2020-esque draft where you had CD in the first, Trayvon Diggs in the second type draft. That's the type of draft you need. You got to knock it out the park. Or even a 2016 where we got a Dak in the fourth round. You know, you had Zeke in the first, a bunch of other players there too. Would you get Anthony Brown in that draft?
Yeah, but that's hoping and wishing if things fall that way.
We're almost there.
Yeah.
But you know, thank y'all so much for tuning into this. You know, we wrap this thing up. Draft party, you know where to be at. Shakerton's, Arlington. Was it 1409 North Collins?
Yes, sir.
Oh shit, I got that right the first time.
1409 for your mind. Come on.
Across from the Boomer Jacks, if you're a physical person, there's a Boomer Jacks across the street. There's a Taco Bueno next door. It's right next to the freeway. Like right when you get off the freeway at Collins, it's right there.
Yes, sir.
Right before you get to Jerry World. It's gonna be we're going to do that thing. It's going to be the greatest broadcast you've ever seen. If you're a true fan, you're a real fan, you ain't trying to go to Frisco. If you're a Cowboys fan, you wouldn't do all that damn driving. You need to come out, party with us in Arlington. Experience this. It's going to be an experience. Not just a party, it's an experience. Come experience that. Thank you, Neil, for taking your time out, because I know you got a lot of shit going on. I know you got meetings and all that. Thank you so much. Cowboys Nation, have faith, have hope. We're going to bring this thing home, all right? Law, what you got to say?
Hey, all I can say, man, is that everybody, I know that the Lion season is about to be over. Now the tangible things is about to be here on draft night. So come on out to Shakerton 1409 for your mind, North Collins Street. Let's go, man. Let's have some fun and let's get it. Come on, Neil.
Let's do it.
Let's
man.
Go,
let's
baby.
Do it. Appreciate you guys.
All right, Let's end off with these positive words. All right. Tell yourself, get your grind on, you know, get your swag on. Tell yourself, I will boss up mentally.
Yeah.
I will boss up spiritually. I will boss up physically. And I will boss up financially. Invest in yourself. It's your boy, Ray.
Law Nation 2.
With Neil Shakertis. We out of here. We see y'all next time. Let's go, baby.
And remember,
here we go.
You're listening to Nothing But the Best.
Get money all day. Get money all night. Sit my... Get money all day. Get money.